We've adapted a minig here that whenever there's some Yom Tov, or we have a shiur around Yom Tov, we try to talk a little bit about Inyan Yom Tov in the realm of Lamdas. So again, continuing on that custom, we're going to talk today a little bit about some Inyan Chanukah. We're going to tie it to Rosh Chodesh, then bring it back to Pesach and wrap it all up at some point. And maybe Sukkot also if there's time. We're going to try. No guarantees. I think it's ironic that this Sunday, I think across the spectrum in the yeshiva system, they're all closed today. The high schools are closed, the elementary schools are closed, Kailulim are closed. I don't know about Eretz Yisrael, but for sure in America, everyone's closed. It's a shutdown. There's no Torah Sunday today. So I think it's beautiful that we still have a chance to come together and still learn Torah. Because I'll say that when people aren't learning Torah, the Torah that you learn is even more chashiv. So Baruch Hashem, we have this chus to be able to learn Torah when people are davening, apparently, across the hall. And we have a chance to learn Torah during this time. So today's shiur, I'd like to discuss a part of Chanukah that doesn't pertain to the regular run-of-the-mill part of Chanukah, but it seems to be a very big part of the lumdis of Chanukah, and it also has some other impacts in the lumdis of understanding Neiris Chanukah. We're going to discuss today the minug, again, underline the word minug, that is found, I would say, b'chol tevutzas Yisrael, amongst all communities, that we have a hadlakas Neiris Chanukah, we light a menorah in the shul. We find that there's this concept that we light a menorah in the shul, and we make a bracha on the lighting of this menorah in the shul. This is not found in the Gemara, this is not found in Yerushalmi, this is not found anywhere. So why exactly did this become the common thing to have a menorah lighting in the shul? Now, many shuls, they light the menorah twice a day. They light the menorah during the morning, and they won't recite a bracha. And then they light the menorah at night, and that way they will recite a bracha. So we need to get to try to understand today is what exactly is the lumdus of this hadlakas Neiris Chanukah in the shul, and the halachic or lumdusha problems that it presents. If you look at the first of the Ma'amar Mekayim, this shiur starts off not like all the other shiurim that we do. We don't start with the Gemara because there is no Gemara about it. The Gemara doesn't talk about it. So we're going to start off one of the earliest sources that addresses is the Tshuvas Rivash. The Shayel, the person asked the question to the Rivash, and he presents the following question to the Rivash. I only put the Rivash's answer. It's not so important for us what the Shayel thinks. We want to know what the Rivash thinks. But the Shayel, if we're on page on the other side, number one in the right corner, is the Tshuvas Rivash. So the Shayel said to the Rivash the following. He says, I don't understand. Why is it that we light a menorah in shul? What's the purpose? What are we trying to accomplish by lighting a menorah in the shul? So the shayel writes to the Rivash, maybe what we're trying to accomplish is we're trying to be mitzi the aniyim. The same way we have a dinner on Friday night, we make kiddush in shul Friday night, to be mitzi the aniyim, they're not going to hear kiddush. So maybe that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to light Neiris Chanukah in shul to be mitzi the aniyim. So he writes back, he says, but the shayel says it to himself, he says, that can't be, because Allah is an aniyim mechoyev in Neiris Chanukah. He's got to go out and sell his shirt and collect money and have Chanukah. So that can't be a reason. So he said, the shayel writes, I have a different idea. Maybe it's for the chazan, or the shamish, or the gabbai. Maybe the one person who lights the menorah, he'll be yaitz of the mitzvah. So the shayel says to himself, that can't be true either. He says, why? Because it can't be that you're going to be yaitz with the halakas Neiris Chanukah and shul. He says, why? He says, because you're going to have to light again, not because of Neiris Shabbos, that's what the Rivash says. The shayel has his own svar. He says, because of chshad. He said, there's no way Chazal are allow your house, there's no way they're going to allow your house to go without a menorah. If you live in shul, so you're going to come and your wife and say, nu, let's not Neiris Chanukah, you're going to tell your wife what I mean. I live in shul. So says the shoyel, the one asking the Rivash, says it can't be. The same way Chazal said, if I live at the corner house, and one door faces one side of the street, one door faces the other side of the street, there's a halacha that you have to light in both places because of chshad. So the shoyel said to himself, how can it not be that I'm going to be allowed to light in shul and have no menorah in my house? Isn't that a great chshad? Isn't everyone going to say, hey, look, Reuven's not lighting menorah?
Why does chshad play such a big part in this mitzvah? What are the mitzvahs we so worry about?
Yeah, it's interesting. Because we're going to talk, maybe we'll come into this a little bit, the significance of Parsum Enisa. That's really where things get interesting.
What are the mitzvahs of Parsum
Enisa? Well, yeah, because the other ones, okay, we're going to try to see if there's time to get to that also. Can certain mitzvahs of Parsum Enisa differ from mitzvah to mitzvah? Yeah, if we could talk more about that if there's time.
How can he lit in shul? The whole world knows that he lit.
I don't know if they dive into that minion, he knows. You come here, there's 15 minyanim. You don't know who lit out with minion. So again, assuming there's more than one minion, so then you walk down the guy's block, you don't know that he was mechubed with lighting. When I was in yeshiva, they used to give hadlokas menorah in yeshiva. We used to stop seder, middle of second seder, 5:15, and we used to light the menorah. And they used to give it to the oldest bacher. And they made up, it's a school of Vishaduch. That was the memory in yeshiva. They used to give it to him to light. That was what we used to do in yeshiva. Now, not everyone knows who's lighting, so every different person can light. So therefore says the shoyel, it's a chshat. So he says, I don't understand. So why do we light menorah in shul, A? And B, why isn't the bracha levatala? which means it was clear to the Shoyal when he presents his question to the Rivash that he knew that they were making a brach on it. His question is why? What's the justification?
But maybe the Aniyim only would light one candle, and in the Shul they're doing more, so they're at least participating in the Hiddur Mitzvah.
Ah, okay, good. So this is a similar Svar that we're going to need to talk about. This Tosefes to Mitzvah, to add on to the Mitzvah. So let's see what the Rivash answers to the Shoyal. Says the Rivash in number one, Tshuva. Ha-minig azeh lahadlik v'esaknes is minig v'sikin. The first way he knocks off the Shoyal, he says, let me know, this is an old, outdated minig. This has been a long time. This is not something that was made up yesterday. This is a long, with a good source type of minig. He doesn't say where it came from. He doesn't say who was the first to do it. But he answers up the Shoyal by first by making him quiet, by telling him, listen, don't think this was made up yesterday. This wasn't a new thing. This is a long, long minig. A minig v'sikinu. Why? Because we want to spread the nace. Since we can't really perform the mitzvah in its proper way, which is because the preferred way to be mekayim ner Chanukah is to put your menorah outside, because it's not even zaray from a Mishnah and Shabbos. Since today the goyim are on top of us, they're controlling us, whatever that means exactly. Refer back to the show we had last Tuesday night. We can't fulfill the mitzvah kitikana the way Chazal established it. So instead, what do we all do? We light a menorah inside. So we only have persume nisa for the people in our own house. That's where the minhag came from, to light out in the shul, lekayim persume nisa, to fulfill persume nisa. So the simple reading of the Rivash would sound like that after there became a time in history where Klai Yisrael was not light menorah outside, whenever that period of time was, wherever it was, I'm not even convinced there was ever such a status like that in the Chutz Laaretz, but there was definitely a time somewhere, maybe in Europe, I don't think in America, but in Europe, maybe there was a time where the Jews were not allowed to light outside. So it says, Rivash, at that point in time, all of a sudden, the Chazal had to kick in a new minhag. They said, 1 second, how can we just get half the mitzvah? We're getting only half the mitzvah. We know that from Chazal, it's clear that when they thought of this mitzvah, their intention was to light a menorah outside. That's the way they write in the Gemara. Mitzvah l'hanichai b'pesach, samach, you're supposed to light it outside. But they also knew that there'd be a time where the goyim would control, so we can't. So therefore, says Rivash, the moment we brought the menorahs inside, that's at the exact same time they brought the menorah into the shul. They go hand in hand. According to Rivash, this minhag was at the same time as when they moved the menorahs from outside your front porch to inside your house. At that time, they decided that we know we're losing out on part of persume nisa. So in order to somehow save that lost persume nisa, says Rivash, we decided to light the menorah outside. Which means, if this Rivash, it means Hashem, one day when Mashiach comes, and we're not going to have to worry about the Goyim, we're not going to light menorah in shul anymore. There'll be no reason. We're all going to be light on menorah. You could even make the argument for those communities where everyone lights outside. Parts of Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, where everyone lights outside. So you can make the argument, that maybe there's no reason to light in shul. Because it's clear from the Rivash, we only live in shul to save or to catch or to make up for that person minisa that we missed. But if we're getting it, because everyone is lighting outside, let's say you were to live in a community where everyone lights menorah outside. Not everyone, not one person, the entire community of however sized communities, everyone lights outside. So one could make the argument that there'd be no reason for why you should light menorah in shul. And maybe you can't even make a brach on that hadlaka, because that's not the way they established it. That's what Rivash seems to be telling us.
They light the base of
Mikdash. Ah, that they did. But the question
so
is that so pashut why we're doing it? The Rivash doesn't make any mention to be doing it to the base of Mikdash. Other Rishonim do. We'll see in a few minutes, the Kolbe addresses it like that. But the Rivash, the way we have it, doesn't say a word about that. He's focusing on the story of Chanukah. And when the moment we lost Persum and Issa, we had to compensate the Persum and Issa by putting the menorah in the shul. That was the logic.
Why? Everybody's lighting in their own house anyway, so they have
okay, good. That's something we need to talk about.
So what's the connection? Why bring it into shul? I mean,
what do you want to, what you gain by shul?
So you brought it into shul. So what?
The assumption is more people go to shul than walk down your block.
Yeah, why is it for so many issues if you do it in your house?
Right. The assumption of the Rivash, I think, is more people come to shul. It might depend on some factors, but more people come to shul than they come down your block. This is where we're going to start to talk about. We're not going to get into halacha ma'aseh. We'll just mention this is where Lubavitch got their motivation to put up menorahs everywhere. This free property, right? It's based on this Rivash. They say, hey, you want to spread the nace, so put it up in front of the tunnels and in front of this, in front of that, which we'll see is not agreed by almost all Paiskim. But this is where they're getting it from. They're saying, 1 second, if the Rivash is showing us that we care about Persum and Issa, so why should it only be in shul? Why can't it be in front of the park? Why can't it be in front of the bridge? Wherever there's going to be Jews walking by, I should have Persum and Issa.
In Eretz Yisrael, the dominant seems to be the light outside.
Depends where
you're.
Yeah, that's what we need to talk about. We're going to see. So if the Rivash is right, if the Rivash is the only reason, so one can make a very fair argument, where if you have communities where they're by and large, or the majority majority of the community is lighting outside, there should be no reason for this minute.
But is the assumption the person lighting, the person actually doing the lighting, would you eat that lighting, or is that...
Okay. So the Rivash didn't get to that yet. He's going to address that in a second. He's going to then make it very clear that that guy who lights is not Yoytze, but not for the reason that the Shoyal suggested. He's going to come up with his own reason.
In the time and place when they were not allowed to light it outside, wherever that was,
right.
Did that mean, so did they have windows in their homes where they would put them in the window? In other words, what's the difference between the Pesach and putting it in your
So it's clear from the window? It's clear from the Gemara in Shabbos that lighting by the window was a secondary option. Because the Gemara writes, really put it outside. If you live in a second floor where you don't have a door, so the Gemara says put it in the window. So the question is, what do you mean? Why doesn't everyone want to put it by the window? So you clearly see from the Gemara that putting it by the window does not accomplish the same level of persimmonisa as it does outside, which creates a shaila in contemporary Paiskim. What happens if the way your house is situated, more people would see your window than they'd see by your door?
Right.
It's a big discussion. Many Acharedim hold that in that case you shouldn't light outside, you should light by your window, because the whole idea is persimmonisa. But that's only based on the Magen Avraham's opinion. The Ramah writes that they used to light the menorah inside the house, they used to light it by the mezuzah. If you look in the pictures today of all the Rebbe's lighting, they don't light it anywhere near a window. They're all lighting it by the mezuzah in their house. That's what the Ramah used to do in Krakow. But the Magen Avraham writes over there that today we should light it by the window if you have people walking by. Now, what happens if there's no one walking by, you're outside, you live in the middle of nowhere, so maybe at that point you should light it by the mezuzah and leave persimmonisa out because you're not getting persimmonisa. That's something that we could debate. Now,
we're assuming here that the persimmonisa has nothing to do with Ner Yesh HaBeis. Doesn't seem to be.
So you see from the Rivash, the way I would say it is, I think the Pshat in the Rivash is that the Rivash holds there's two parts to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Again, obviously, without a doubt, the theme of Ner Chanukah is Pesuminisa. Right? That's the Yisoid HaMitzvah to be Mepharshim Dineis. So I don't understand. So why do we bother lighting candles? Why don't we send out emails and letters and make videos and spread the word out about the story? That would be a bigger Pesuminisa. The Teretz is, you're going to have to say, that Chazal decided that the way they want us to accomplish Pesuminisa is via candles. That's the way they wanted it to happen. Why? You can talk about it, but that's clear what Chazal wanted. They didn't want us, you know, putting up banners and sending out letters and letting people know about the story. They wanted us to light nears. So it says the Rivash that there's really two parts to the mitzvah. There's the mitzvah of persumenisa, and in persumenisa, there's two parts to persumenisa. There's persumenisa the way Chazal wanted it, and the persumenisa that we're kind of stuck with because of the situation. Which means, when we light nears Chanukah inside, says the Rivash, we're really missing some of the mitzvah. But we have no choice. What are we supposed to do? We have to deal with what's presented to us. So Memela says, Rivash, that when you go back out and you can create a new persumenisa, so then you're really fulfilling the mitzvah in its entirety. When we light inside, it sounds like in the Rivash, we're only making what we'll call 50% of the mitzvah. Now, that's all we could do. So that's all Hashem wants from us. But in essence, we're not fully living up to Chazal's takana. So Memela says, Rivash, when you go back out and you mefarsim it in front of everyone, so now you're finishing, you're being goymer, complete mitzvah of Neres Chanukah.
So what's the Havamina in a wood mirror not to light outside?
Yeah, I think one should. Hey, we spoke about it last week in the shir.
Last
Tuesday night we spoke about it. Yeah, during the week on the Halacha Shir, we talked about this. We came out with many tzadim why one should light outside. But according to the Rivash, what I think he's saying, Alumdus, is that when you go back and light the menorah in the shul, you're fulfilling the second half of the mitzvah. That's what you're doing. Now, lefi zeh, it's not a minog. What's a pshat a minog? A minog means what I'm doing is no halachic fulfillment. All I'm doing is a minig. A minig by definition means I'm not doing anything that's a ratzon a chazal. I'm not doing ratzon Hashem. I'm doing something that someone's great-grandfather started years ago, which is very nice and important. According to the Rivash, when I light menorah in shul, I'm being mekayim a chelek of mitzvahs Ner Chanukah. It's a very big chiddush, I think, to say in the Rivash like this. But I think it's muchach. That according to the Rivash, when you light your menorah in shul, you're not just doing a minig that dated way back. You're actually fulfilling the full mitzvah. You're getting a mitzvah now, it's an entirety. You live for the inside of the house, as Chazal told you to do, and you're also able to be kind of person minisa berabim through that. Which means, lefizeh, when the guy in shul lights, he's acting as a shliach for me. Chavir has to be like that. He has to be my shliach. Because if I have a mitzvah to be mefarsim denes berabim, how am I yetzer because Reuven lit the menorah? You're going to have to say that when Reuven lights the menorah in shul, he's being mitzi me, my fulfillment of what we'll call pirsum neis berabim. The second element of persuminisa. There's persuminisa levnei beisoy. You have to be mefarsim neis for your family, those in your house. And then there's a second part of what Chazal really wanted, which is to be mefarsim neis berabim. So when this guy lights in shul, and there's whoever's at shul, he's fulfilling my obligation of persuminisa berabim, which one can make the argument if that's so, he can't be a katan. Which we'll talk more about a little later. He can't be a katan. How can I send up a katan to fulfill my mitzvah? If I have a mitzvah to do, how can I have a katan do it for me? The same way I can't send up a katan to read Megillah for me, how can I send up a katan to light Neris for me? If the Pshat Mivash, like we're saying now, that when you're lighting in shul, you're being Mekayim, a part of your mitzvah, how can the katan fulfill a mitzvah for me?
Well, maybe because by being part of the rabbim, that's part of the person. By creating the rabbim, you're creating the mitzvah pursuing the Yisrael. In other words, without the people, there'd be no Rabbin.
Right.
So by being physically being there as part of the Rabbin,
no, sorry, I think I think he can be part of the Rabbin. I don't think he can light the menorah.
No. I'm saying, but that's why you Yod say the mitzvah pursuing the Yisrael, even if a cotton lights it, because the mitzvah is not just maybe not just to actually physically light the candle, but to create the
pursuing. Right.
So I would have assumed, if what I'm saying is correct, which we'll see in a minute if it is or not, if it's true, so then it's a real chelik of my mitzvah hadlaka. The same way when I have a mitzvah hadlaka, I have to do it myself, and the hadlaka is a mitzvah, that's a chelik of the mitzvah. So I would assume here also. I'm just saying that this lighting in shul is no different than my lighting in house, it's just we rearrange the places. Which means really, when I'm supposed to light, I'm supposed to be mefarsim the next berabim. That's what Chazal wanted. But the Chazal knew we can't do it. So what Chazal said, instead of being mefarsim it berabim in your house, be mefarsim it beyachidus in your house. This is the Rivash talking. This is my interpretation. Let's not blame the Rivash, let's blame me. This is my understanding of what the Rivash means when he explains where this idea came from. Which means it's not some a minug that Chazal... You could learn the Rivash. The Rivash is saying, you know what, Chazal felt bad. We're not really doing the mitzvah right, so let's put a minhag to do it. So more than that, we're actually going to be mekayim the mitzvah in its entirety. This is the full way to be mekayim the mitzvah. So when we light in shul, l'chaira, I would have assumed, the lighting in shul is a continuation of my lighting at home. The same way when I light at home, it has to be from a gadol and not by a katan, so the lighting in shul should be the same thing.
So the right to that is if you make the bracha Lichner also, not just
Shashanah. Okay, good. So we're gonna need to talk a lot about that stuff.
No, you
shouldn't have the bracha at all.
Oh, one second. We need to get to the bracha in a second. Yeah.
Yeah. If all of that's true, then when I fulfilled my mitzvah in shul, then shouldn't my wife have an independent obligation?
Yes. We will get to it. Yeah, 100%. If what I'm saying is correct, and again, we'll underline if a couple of times. If this is Pshat and Rivash, then yes, what you're saying is correct. Right.
This has nothing to do with the morning.
Correct. I'm not coming to Maaz, but the Hadlok in the morning is based on the Rambam to be damed to the Mikdash. Yeah, that's not the Hadlok in the morning. You don't make a bracha on the Hadlok in the morning. I'm talking about the Hadlok at night. Now, if I'm right in the Rivash, so this is Pshat and Rivash, the Rivash is telling us a lomdus over here, that the Yisoid HaMinog is a chelek of the Kiyam Hadlokas Neiros Chanukah, so then there's a big problem how to read the next line in the Rush. Because again, just a little background, this we've spoken about a few years ago, it's always kedai to remind ourselves, there's a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says there's a principle that you don't make a bracha and hug him. The Gemara over there in Sukkah is talking about Chavita Sairava, the minute that we clapped Hashanah on Hashanah Rabbah. So the Gemara says on this, Amin hug loy mevarchinan. We don't make a bracha and hug him. Why don't we make a bracha and hug him? So there's a big machloikis Rishayim Rashi in the Rambam. Rashi learns in Sukkah, the reason why we don't make a bracha and a minute is you can't say the word Vitzivanu. How do you say the word Asher Kedushanum Vitzivanu? Hashem never commanded me. Hashem could care less whether or not you clap our ravas on the ground. You can't say the word Vitzivanu. That's Rashi Shita. The Brisker Rav has a very famous piece in Sefer where he discusses this and he says that's not the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam's opinion is that if you don't keep a minug, you're over loisasar also. The Rambam holds that a minug is so important that if you don't keep a minug, so you're not just saying, anu altitash teresi mecha, whatever it is. You're actually breaking the lav of loisasar because you're not listening to Chazal.
The Rambam also says you don't make a bracha on a minug.
Yeah, we're going to get to it. Hopefully, we're going to get to it. We're going to see that the Rambam probably didn't like Neiros Chanukah in his shul. Which might, we're going to... okay. Well, no, so the Rabbanon you could. Because the Rabbanon, you have a mitzvah to listen. Mitzivanu, you have a mitzvah to listen to Chazal. But on a minhag, Chazal never told me to light my menorah in the shul. So Zed's the Gemara that minhag we don't make a brach. So the Biskurov has a different way of learning this sugya. Again, without getting into, we can spend the whole shit on the Biskurov, which we have done in the past, I think about 2 years ago. 3 years ago, we spent time on this Biskurov, one of the more complicated Biskurovs. So the Biskurov says words, which we'll repeat the words. He uses such terminology as something called a cheftza of a mitzvah. Right? What I think the Biskurov means is that the Biskurov understands is that when brichas ha-mitzvahs, this idea of making a brach on a mitzvah, is not on something that you were that you have an issur of loisasar on. It's something that is viewed in the eyes of the Torah as a mitzvah. It takes on a certain chashivas because it is a ma'aseh mitzvah, because it's a command. I think that's what the Biskurov holds. And therefore, brichas ha-mitzvahs can only be said on those things that are actually mitzvahs. Not because I can't say the word of a tzivon. I can say the word of a tzivon. Hashem's command me to follow menhagim. But when Chazal sat down and made up the idea of brichas ha-mitzvahs, they were misakin it on things that are deemed a mitzvah, not things that are only menhagim. I think kinira is the words of the Biskurov. So that now, with that background, now let's look at this Chuvas Rivash. So the Rivash comes in and he says, one second. after all the things I just told you, now I have a problem. I never answered how you make a bracha on it. So how do you make a bracha? It's still a minug. It's not brought down in the Gemara.
So some minhagim do make bracha.
Yeah, like what?
Halal and
Rosh. Okay, that's what we're going to have to talk about today. That's what we're going to have to talk about today. Yeah, a little bit today. Not all of it. Can't spend all the time on that, but we're going to talk a little bit. So says Rivash, as we pick up the middle, he says like this. The Ava Pisha Eim Mevarchim Al HaMinug. Says Rivash, even though we don't normally make a bracha on a minug, Zehu B'minug Kal. That's if it's a low minug. K'moy minug shel arava, like the minug of clapping arava. She'ein ela chavata ba'alma, it's just an act of slapping, smacking the arava on the ground. Avo bozeh shu pirsam hanes beisak neses berabim. But this thing, which is a pirsam hanes in shul, mevarchin olav. You make a brach on it. K'moy shenog luvarech al halal shavish chedesh. Just like we Ashkenazim make a brach on halal on rish chedesh, even though halal on rish chedesh is clearly a minug. V'av bi she'ein ela minug. Like Rabbeinu Tam's Shita brought down in two places in Taisvis in Sukkah, Taisvis in Brachas. Taisvis says we make a brach on Halal Rish Chedesh even though it's only a minhag. Now, Umikomakim concludes the Rivash, but Oisa Hadlaka shall basic Knesset in Adam Yoitzeba. Now, one person fulfills his mitzvah with this Hadlaka. Everyone must go home and light again. The mitzvah is Chanukah ner ishu beis. So the Rivash argues on the Shoyal with his premise that someone can actually be Yotzeh with this Neris. He says it's not true because of the din of Nerish Ubeis. Okay, so let's try to deal with each piece of this Rivash for a second. If my pshat is right in the Rivash, that according to Rivash, when you're lighting Neris in Shul, you be mekayin the second half of your mitzvah, so then what's the Rivash asking Akasha? How do you make a bracha on a minhag? It's not a minhag. It's a kima mitzvah. What's the Rivash asking? The Rivash is bothered with Akasha. How do you make a bracha on this lighting in shul? It's only a minhag. It's not a minhag. I just explained that the Rivash just told us that it's a kima mitzvah. So if it's a kima mitzvah, then it's not a minhag. Minhag means you're not getting any credit for it in Shemayim for doing mitzvahs. Here I am. I'm fulfilling my second half of my mitzvah of Neiris Chanukah. Or I'm doing the preferred version of Neiris Chanukah. So why does he have a Akasha from Halal? Why does he call it a minhag? What's going on in the Rivash over here? If the pshat in the Rivash is right, then I don't understand the second half of the Rivash. In order to understand the second half of the Rivash, we have to go back to number 5 over here, to the Taisvis and Sukkah. The Rivash compared his case to a Taisvis and Sukkah. Taisvis and Sukkah was talking about what? Taisvis and Sukkah was talking about saying Halal and Shul. Taisvis is a long discussion, and all the Rishonim talk about that there's no Mikar, Maker Adin, to say Halal and Meshchidish. There's no Indian, Api Allah, to say Halal and Meshchidish. So why do we say it? So the Rishonim will give this phrase, Minag Avesein, it was a Minag to say Halal and Meshchidish. So the Rishonim are bothered. One second, but you don't make a bracha on a Minag. So if you look at number 5, Taisus and Sukkah, it's different than the way Taisus writes in Brachas Daf Yidal. We're going to go with Taisus and Sukkah. Taisus says like this, Rabbeinu Tam Omar, De'ein Raya Me Arov Al Halal. Don't compare the clapping of the Arov on a Shana Rabbah to saying Halal. The Arov Eina Elo Tiltal, because the Arov is only moving. The kimin the laughter kantihi, it's not a takana element hago, it's only a minug. Loi chashiva le mikve le bracha. It wasn't chashiv enough to get a bracha. Those words don't sound like Rashi. Those words sound like what we said from the Brisker Rav. Avo kriyas halal loi gara mikoyre b'tayra. But kriyas halal says Taisvis, that's no worse than reading from the Torah. What was the answer? Well, how does Taisvis understand the difference between saying halal and mishchaydish? And hitting that rav on the ground. They're both not halachas. They're both not requirements. They're both minhagim. What's the difference? Because one involves slapping and one involves reading. What's the difference? So if you look at number 6, so Salvechik and Shurman Sukkah, he explains this Taisus. And he says like this. Rabbeinu Tam l'shitasai. He says this Rabbeinu Tam is l'shitasai to a very famous Rabbeinu Tam in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri of another machloikis. Can women make brachas on mitzvahs as eishah zman groma? This machloikis we read Rabbeinu Tam is a machloikis Shulchan Aruch Rama. Svaidish halacha is based on the Shulchan Aruch is that women don't make bracha on mitzvahs as eishah zman groma. When their mitzvah eishah zman groma comes up, they don't make a bracha. They do the mitzvah, they don't make a bracha. Rabbeinu Tam writes that women could do, and he has a whole raya as why they do it. So says of Salvechik, this Rabbeinu Tam over here is l'shitasai to that Rabbeinu Tam over there. How? So he explains. How can a lady make a bracha on mitzvah shazman grama? Ki brichas hamitzvahs shaychim l'kiyam hamitzvah loy l'chayves hamitzvah. Because the idea of a bracha on a mitzvah is not connected to my obligation. And the bracha is for those who are obligated. The bracha is for those who get credit for the mitzvah. That's the yisayit of a brichas hamitzvah. When you look and you say, who has an obligation to make a bracha? It's not those that are obligated in the mitzvah. It's those that will fulfill the mitzvah will get credit for a mitzvah. So therefore, he explains the chaim mevarchem al haminuk shel halal rish chedesh ki afa b'shiyesh chesaron b'chayves hagavra kanal haramba mikom b'akim yesh ki a mitzvah shleima. When a person reads halal, he's fulfilling a mitzvah. What mitzvah is he fulfilling? Not the mitzvah of kriyas halal. because there is no mitzvah of kriyas halal on Rosh Chodesh. So what is he reading? Says in Salvechik, "Mikomokim yeshkim mitzvah shleima kishakayim mitzvah halal yeshkim hamitzvah deiraisa shal kriyas kisvei hakodesh." A separate mitzvah. You're fulfilling another mitzvah. You're fulfilling the mitzvah of reading kisvei hakodesh.
So anytime you say
Tehillim,
you should make
several books. Yeah, okay, good. Shedoyme, Shedoyme, the Kriya Satire. So if Salvechik understood in this Rabbeinu Tam, that Rabbeinu Tam is saying is that when you read Halal, you're not getting the mitzvah of Kriya Halal. That mitzvah is designated on certain days. But you're getting another mitzvah. You're getting another mitzvah, a mitzvah called Kriya Kisvei HaKadosh. Now, whatever that mitzvah is not for today's share. But what I want to do with this shot is if that's true, so now the Rivash is Geshmak. Why? Because the Rivash is saying, same way like Halal. That when you read Halal, you're not being Mekayim the mitzvah of Kriyas Halal for Halal's sake. You'd be Mekayim a different mitzvah. You'd be Mekayim the mitzvah of Kriyas Kisvei Kodesh. Says the Rivash, same thing here also. The Rivash is backing up his pshat with Halal. Because according to the Rivash, when I light Neiris in Shul, I am Mekayim a mitzvah. Maybe not the standard mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiris Chanukah, but I'm Mekayim an element, a part, a chelek of mitzvahs Hadlakas Neiris Chanukah. So then he brings a raya from this Rabbi Nutam. You see from Rabbi Nutam that even if the Yisoid Hadover is Minhag, but by doing so you're getting a check for something, that's enough to make a bracha. So says the Rivash, same thing also. Even though no one commanded us necessarily to go light our Neiris in Shul, but when we do it, we're going to get a check for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So that's exactly the same thing as Halal on Rosh Chodesh. Halal on Rosh Chodesh is not an obligatory type of thing, but when we do it, we're going to get a check. So you see, says the Rivash, that when you have mitzvahs that you're not obligated to do, but if you do, you'll get some form of credit for it, that's beyond minhag, that's deemed mitzvah, and you can make a bracha on it.
So that would explain the Ramad for women and
mitzvah. That's right, that's why women can make brachas, because they're going to get credit for it, maybe not as much as men, but they're at least going to get credit. So when you do a maisa that you're not obligated in, but there's credit that you're going to get, that takes it out of the shame minog that now becomes a kim hamitzvah, and a kim hamitzvah you can make a bracha on a kim hamitzvah.
That's in the Rivash's case.
I think it's the mitzvah of Neiris Chanukah.
So then why do you have to go back?
Oh, because you didn't do the other half of the mitzvah. You only have half of it. Neiris Shabesa. Chazal Misakin, at the end of the day, the mitzvah of Neiris Shabesa. So you base again, what I'm saying to Rivash is that there's two chalokim to the mitzvah, and you can have one without the other, but the bigger pell of what I'm saying is that there's two brachas. Where do you find the mitzvah that has two parts to it and you make two separate brachas? If a mitzvah has two parts, so when you finish either the second part, you finish the first part. The way I'm saying it is there's two parts to the mitzvah, and you make two brachas on it, which is very, very shver and lumped.
But his logic is circular.
Meaning why?
You're assuming that making the bracha in shul is right to begin with, that you should get a check mark.
Right.
If you do a mitzvah improperly, if you think that you're yotzei somebody's Kiddush, and you're 500 yards away, and you're
right,
and you think that somehow you're going to be yotzei over that Kiddush, you're wrong, right? So you don't get a check for under that scenario.
So
you're wrong to begin with. You don't get a check mark. You don't
correct.
Get a check mark.
The assumption of the Rivash is that he believes that when we all light our Neiris in Shul and 50 people now see the Menorah, we're now fulfilling a part of what Chazal wanted.
Right, but he's backing that logic into getting the to getting this.
Yeah, 100%. He's making it up.
It's wrong to begin with, then there's no. It's not.
Well, he'll tell you it's not. That's what we're going to debate. We're going to see that the Rivash holds he's right. We'll see, maybe others disagree. But the Rivash believes that when you light Menorah in Shul and you're being Mefaris in the Neis, you are being Mekayim some part of this mitzvah that Chazal wanted us to do. Now, whether or not it's as extreme as I'm saying it, or maybe it's not as extreme, which we'll see maybe a little later, but the Rivash understands that this is a part of the mitzvah. This is part of the mitzvah, even though, this is the important part, I was never commanded to do so. I never had an obligation. I went on my own and I self-imposed an obligation. Says the Rivash, that's okay, because I bring you rise. Sometimes a self-imposed obligation can still be enough to make a brach.
Does everyone say that, according to Rivash, that's why there's two brachas on Pesach about Hamotzi and then Alachilas Matzah, that's right, this far.
That what?
In other words, it's the same thing here, that there's two parts of it. There's the Motzi and the Matzah. Same thing here.
They're two separate mitzvahs, because if you eat bread on a Tuesday, you also have to make a Hamotzi. Here, we're saying that in the same mitzvah of Alachas Neiris Chanukah, Chazal wanted us to do both, and they split it down the line and said, listen, you can do this, not that. But when you do each, separately you make a bracha. It's a chiddush, I'm not going to lie. I think it's a little bit of a stretch.
You make old brachas.
Yeah.
That's a big chiddush. Go as far as you just went and said that you could do either one without the other. Is that, he says that you can do.
Well, again, he says that you're not yotze by just lighting in your shul. By just lighting in shul.
But you are yotze by just lighting at home.
Clearly you're yotze. There's no doubt. Me'ikra,
if you just light at home, would the Rosh have a problem with
No. I don't think he'd have any tainus in him. He'd say, listen, the minhag was that we want to go beyond. But you can only do what Chazal asked of you. And all Chazal asked of you is put the menorah inside.
So if you lit at home, were you and Mekayim both asked for Eskid the Mitzvah? Could you then go light and shul?
We're going to talk about it. It's Machlokes Achreinim. We're going to be telling that a little later. I don't know how much time later, but we're going to talk about that. That's a big Machlokes Apoiskim. Now,
this is a very unorthodox question. For those of us that have satellite minyanim, it came up in my house last night.
Yeah.
So somebody said we should light. Now, we happen to be in the basement.
That's a shame.
We have the same territory, we have everything. We decided not to.
It depends how many tefillos you daven there. Some say mincha ma'ariv, some say just mincha, some say just ma'ariv. It's like a little bit of everything. The rule with these things are, a lot of times it's better not to make a bracha, because again, we're taking a minhag and we're trying to expand on it. When it comes to these types of minhagim, which we're going to see, that everyone's mutchering to understand it, better not to expand it. Don't take it beyond what Chazal given us. But many places come hold if you daven mincha and ma'ariv if you daven ma'ariv b'kviyah, some hold. And the safest bet would be if you want to light the menorah, to light the menorah without a bracha. This way, even though we'll see later in today's shiur, that according to some achrayim, you get no credit for that, which we'll hopefully get to in a few minutes. Now, Reb Shmuel Vazman.
Bracha l'kriyas ahalal, according to the Rambam.
Why? According to the Rabbeinu Tam. According to those who do make a bracha, they make a bracha l'kriyas ahalal. The question is why? That's not really what you're doing. Yeah, it's a good question. That's a halal question.
Because it's rooted in
that's a simple. The simple answer off the bat would be because lemaisa, that was the bracha they made for a regular time. So over here, when you're reading something which at some times is a mitzvah, even though today it's not a mitzvah, but you're getting some form of credit for it, that's why we kept the nusach habracha. But it does need more explanation.
Is there a chilk if you're a chazan as opposed to the yichidus? Because we know there are people that actually are makpid to daven.
Yeah. Based on the goyin, yeah, the goyin was makpid like that. The grow wouldn't make his own bracha.
But
on halal d'mishchei
d'shem.
We're going to have to see if there's an element of being moitzi the tzibur in this. We're going to have to try to see if we can get to it. Now, according to this lumdus, if I'm correct, so then the chayyur, as I said earlier, it should come out that you should not have a katan lighting in shul, because it shouldn't be the right thing to have a katan lighting in shul. Because if I'm missing a chiluk of my kima mitzvah, and when this person in shul lights, I am fulfilling my kima mitzvah, shouldn't my kima mitzvah come about through a gadol? Why should it come about through a katan? The fizeh, I don't think it should be right to have a katan light in shul.
But Pirsum Nisa is just seeing the lights. But the
way you create the Pirsum Nisa is what the mitzvah was. Uh-huh. Chazal were very particular in how you create Pirsum Nisa. They wanted it to be done through a Maisa Adlaka. So if it needs to be done through a Maisa Adlaka, then I can't have it be
Madlaka.
The Rabbanon, you mean? Okay, so I don't want to get too much into this, but the truth is, there's two shittas in Shulchan Aruch, whether or not a katan can be yoytze a gadol. There's a shita of the Baal Itter, the Baal Itter holds, a katan could be yoytze a gadol in the Eretz Chanukah. The reason is because they're all the Rabbanons. I'm a Rabbanon, and the katan's a Rabbanon.
Yeah, that comes to Tos Megillah, but it's a double.
That's right. So the reason why we don't pass him like the Baal Itter, writes to Mishnah Berurah, is because it's a double the Rabbanon. He's two the Rabbanons, I'm only one the Rabbanon. So in Hilchas Chanukah, the Mechaber brings down two shittas. Interestingly enough, in Hilchas Purim, the Mechaber doesn't bring down two shittas. He brings down one shita. A katan can't read Megillah for a gadol. Everyone tumbles. Why Nachas Chanukah is the two shitas, and why Nachas Purim is only one shita? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that's supposed to teach us the halacha. For the fact that the Shulchan Aruch and Nachas Purim wrote one shita, and Nachas Chanukah wrote two shitas, that's for all of us to realize that we're supposed to follow that one shita Nachas Purim, and therefore katan is not supposed to be mighty a gadol. Now maybe if we get to Purim, we can talk about is there a difference between Kriyas HaMegillah and Neiris Chanukah? They both have Pesach Nisa to them, but maybe we could be mechalak between the Maisa Hamitzvah and see if there's a difference. But I think according to my lumdus, I don't think a katan should light the menorah. Now, if you look in other achrayim, they talk about the shayla, but they don't say any of this lumdus, maybe because it's wrong. But they don't say all this lumdus. They have all this other Torah of why they don't think a katan should light the nearest in the shul. They bring down Mishnah Rav Moshe, the Rav Moshe held it's okay for a katan to be madlik the nearest in the shul. But I think according to the lumdus in the Rivash, a katan shouldn't be madlik the nearest in the shul. If this pshat is right, then I think we can answer up another problem. There's a Maram Shik in number 7. The Maram Shik has a great shaila was presented to the Maram Shik. Someone told Maram Shik the following story. There was a new shul that just opened up, and the first time they opened the shul, so the rabbi came in and he lit the ner tamid and he made a bracha, the hadlik ner shel tamid. That was what happened. Maisa shahaya. And then he made a shachiyonu. So this bystander was watching this and he thought to himself, this rabbi is nuts. What's he doing? He made a bracha, the hadlik ner shel tamid. I hope they didn't vote on this rabbi right before this and he should go back to the board. He made a bracha lahadlik ner shel tamid. There's no such bracha lahadlik ner shel tamid. And he said a shechiyonu. So this person right away ran to the Maram Shik and told the Maram Shik, what's going on over here? What's going on with this rabbi? So the Maram Shik says, yeah, the rabbi was 100% wrong. He shouldn't have made this bracha, and it's a bracha batal. In the middle of that piece, the Maram Shik says something very, very interesting. He says that there's a tshuvas Ramah. The Ramah has a rule that we don't make brachas on minhagim that are not muskar b'gemar. Even though the Rama paskes we make brachas on minhagim, and we Ashkenazim make bracha on haldarish chaydesh, the Rama says in the Chuvas Rama, Maram Shik quotes the Chuvas Rama, you don't make a bracha on a minhag that's not mentioned in the Gemara. 1 second. If that's true, now we have a big problem. It's mentioned, No, the Rama has two rules. It has to either be a minhag that he feels chashiv, or it's in the Gemara. Haldarish chaydesh is mentioned a bunch of places in Shas. So I'm asking now, if that's true, we all agree, lighting neiros in shul is not mentioned in the Gemara. So I have a kasha. So when the Ramon Shulchan Aruch discusses this shaila, why doesn't he write ahaga ve'einanu mevarchim l'shitasa? Because what I pass in Shuvas Rama, he doesn't. If you look at number 4, the Mechaber writes umadlikin, we light neiros umevarchim and we make a bracha bebeis hakneses mishum pasuminisa. Says the Rama haga. You have to light again in your house, and then he goes on, he talks about when you light it. He never once discusses that you shouldn't make a bracha. If the Chuvas Ramah is right, why doesn't he say over here you don't make a bracha? So the easy way out is that sometimes the Chuvas Ramah and the Ramah have contradictions. It comes up in a couple of places, so we don't always get so bent out of shape. But if you're saying it the way we're learning now, it's not a stira, because the pshat is when you're lighting neiros in shul, it's not a minhag, it's a kiyum hamitzvah. It's not the pshat, I'm doing a minhag that was no source in the Chazal, and I'm just doing a minhag because the Alta Zeta did it. I'm actually being mekayim a mitzvah. So when you're being mekayim a mitzvah, of course you should make a bracha. When does the Rama have this rule, I'm in Hagim, I don't make a bracha, if it's not in the Gemara? That's when the whole thing is a minhag. Beginning to end, minhag, no source. But over here, the pshat is, it's not just the fact that it's a minhag. It's a chelik in the kiyum a mitzvah. By doing so, I'm being mekayim a mitzvah, I'm getting a check. So then it's like Rabbeinu Tam wrote by Halal. By halal, even though it's not a chiv, I get to make a bracha. Here also, even though it's not a chiv, I can make a bracha. So I think lefizeh.
Like what?
We
don't see anybody whole like
that. What?
Nobody's mocking to get to shul to make sure that there's a lighting. They do it near Yishubay, so they.
Ah, so we're going
to
talk about that. We're going to see. We're going to see the later Paiskim, they got very particular on how we light in shul. They were very careful how we light in shul, which might be telling how they understood the lumps. Now it's interesting, Shmuel Vosner takes this rivash even further, I think that I'm going with it. He writes in a tshuva, we mentioned this in the Tuesday night chair, Shmuel Vosner writes in a tshuva, he believes the reason why we don't have to light menorah outside today is because we're really mekayim persumenitsa through the lighting in the shul. So Shmuel Vosner goes so far with this rivash that he says that it's such a kiyum persumenitsa in shul that we now no longer have to take our menorahs outside anymore. Because we all say, what do you mean? How can I not light menorah outside? I'm missing persumenitsa. So the Shmuel Vosner, what are you worried about? You'll get it later on in shul.
So what if you didn't get backwards? The only reason why we went into shul.
Exactly. Exactly.
We know better than Chazal.
Right, right. He's saying, well, he writes at the end of the piece that this is just limud chos and klai yisrael. He's not exactly thinking that this is the right way it should be. But I'm just showing you how far he takes this rivash. He takes this rivash to say that once I have pesul menisa in shul, so now I'm done. I was mekayim my own mitzvah of pesul menisa. Which means, I think he understands rivash like we're saying, that there's two parts of my mitzvah. I got to be mekayim pesul menisa for my house, and I have to be mekayim pesul menisa for the outside. So if I can be mekayim pesul menisa from the outside through shul, why should I do it at home? That's the way he understands this rivash.
Then you shalim, they shouldn't light in the shul.
Exactly. That's again, according to this, yeah, according to him, and according to the rivash, one can make the argument you shalim. There's really no reason why you should have to light inside. I agree.
But who's kind of that only one? Lights are everybody's in shul.
So the chayr, I think he's working as a shlech for you. Yeah. He's working as a shlech for you. That's the chayr we can have to say. He's working as a shlech. The fizeh, let's go one more step. If this is all true, what we're saying in the Rivash, we can answer up the kasha of the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi over here has a very famous kasha on all this Torah that we're saying here today. For the Chacham Tzvi, the Shulchan Aruch, as we read before, wrote, you make a bracha on Adlokas Neiris Bebeis HaKnesses. We said that Adlokas Neiris Bebeis HaKnesses is a minute. For the Chacham Tzvi, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchas Rish Chodesh, that the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is we don't make a bracha on Halda Rish Chodesh, because it's only a minute. And the Shulchan Aruch passed because we don't make a bracha in Hagim. It's a fact that Chacham Tzvi, it's a stira. How could the Shulchan Aruch by us write that we light neiros in shul and make a bracha? And then he turns around when it comes to Halon Rosh Chodesh, he says, no bracha, it's only a minhag. Meman of Shach. If you make a bracha on a minhag, make a bracha on Omen Hagim. If you don't make a bracha on a minhag, how do you make a bracha on this minhag? The Chayre, if you learn the way we're learning it, it's not a kasha. It's not a minhag. You're being mekayim a mitzvah. When does the Shulchan Aruch write you don't make a bracha on a minhag? That's when the minhag has absolutely no kiyum a mitzvah in it at all. Zero. Yeah. You get no credit.
But we said before from Salvechik.
That's because that he was going to Beit Tam. The Rambam doesn't believe in that. The Rambam believes Kriyas Halal is not a kiyum Kriyas Kisvei Kodesh. He speaks about it. Salvechik has a long discussion in Rishim Ashurim about the Machloikis Rishayim and what are we doing by what are we mekayim to Kriyas Halal. He's totally Machloikis Rambam and Ravid. But this, the Rambam argues on this premise. So therefore, according to the Rambam, you read Halal, you're doing nothing. No checks, no credit. Oh, no credit, no mitzvah, no bracha. But over here, when you're lighting there, sure, you do get credit for something. You're getting credit for your second half of the mitzvah. Oh, then it's not shvei anymore. How you make a bracha on it? Because you're not stam a minug, you're b'yisaydei a minug, but really you're b'yikim makim a mitzvah. So lefizeh, we can answer up the kasha of the Chacham Tzvi. Okay. That's one way of learning the Rivash. And if that's all true...
About the timing, because you're relying on the b'dieved at best and not relying after sex.
Okay, good. We're going to... If there's time, I'm going to get to it. Salvechik has a piece in Nefesh HaRav where he uses this to explain a whole different mahalach in this minuk. But we're going to go now with the assumption is it's the second half of Ma'akei Mametz. Now there's an interesting Tosfos Rit over here, number 8. The Tosfos Rit in Sukkah writes the following. He's coming to explain this idea of Minhagim. And he writes like this, nearly Leimer. Kol davar shehu noyeg chayvel v'nagu lahosif alav. Says the Tosfos Rit, I'm going to give you a new rule, a new rule book for figuring out when you make a bracha on a minhag. That's if the concept itself is an obligation, but you add on to it. What does that mean? Bevarach on Alasim Minhag. You gain haftarah. Let's say the haftarah. Shnei heges shachris chayva. Reading the haftarah by shachris is a chayva. V'haysifu lino came b'mincha. And then there was a minhag to add it to mincha. Uki gain halal. Let's say halal. Shenoyik chayva begay lechaf alvyam. Halal sometimes is an obligation on the right days of the year. Then you want to add it on a day like today on Rosh Chodesh. You want to add it. V'haysifu lino gam gresh chodesh. Then mevarchim al oisim minhag. So the Tosfos Rit's understanding is that if you have something which at least is rooted somewhere in the chiyuv, then if you add on to it, that's not deemed a minhag.
Even
if right now there's no chiyuv. Even if the addition has no chiyuv. Yeah, if the first thing is the rabban. So zok to Tosfos Rit, so halal on Rosh Chodesh, that concept of saying halal is d'oraisa. Today it's not. But since what I'm doing is I'm trying to mimic or add on to what was originally established, that's not a problem of minhag. Because at least has a root in the Torah. So if you learn like this Tosfos Rit, you could say the same thing here also. When I want to add on to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, maybe not as extreme as I was saying it, that's the second half of my mitzvah. It's not the second half of my mitzvah. My mitzvah is over when I light it home. But I want to take the mitzvah of Bersu Menisa and add on to it. I want to be mefarsim today not only to my family, I want to be mefarsim to the world. I want to add on to a pre-existing mitzvah. Says the Tosfos Rit, when you want to add on to a pre-existing mitzvah and take it beyond the mitzvah, then you can make a brach on it. Now, I'm not being mazbah this Tosfos Rit because it needs hezber. Again, at the end of the day, where do I say the word vitzivon and where will that Torah come in? But if you learn this Tosfos Rit by us, then it's very gishmak. Same thing here also. Over here, I'm taking a pre-existing mitzvah and I'm building on it. I'm adding on to it. When I'm adding on to a pre-existing mitzvah, in that case, then I have the right to make a bracha. So that's the other
thing. Like,
as opposed to something which my mom just pulled out of the hat. Yeah, like, if I decided that on Fridays we're going to, you know, take out a Sefer Torah and lane, for there's no basis for it all. We never take out a Sefer Torah on this type of a day. Now, the problem with halal is a little bit of a stretch. Because the fact that we lane halal on Yom Tov and lane halal on Rosh Chodesh is really no comparison. You know, if I wanted to start a new minhag to say halal every Tuesday, the Gemara would call me a mecharef and a megadif. So why am I allowed to do it on Rosh Chodesh?
Okay.
Yeah, but the Gemara rejects that. Medina the Gemara. The Gemara says an erichin. There's no reason to say halal on Rosh Chodesh. That's the Gemara says an erichin. It is, but the Gemara says that's not enough of a reason to say halal. That's the problem.
Minhag says it.
That's Torah. When we have a chance to talk about it, we can talk about it a different time on the halal on Rosh Chodesh. But the pashtus of the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says it's not good enough to be mighty. You have to have other criteria to make it a kriyas halal.
Yeah. The mitzvah without changing it?
Right, so what I would say over here is you're taking the mitzvah b'yisoida of hadlaka and presume, and you're saying, I'm going to be mefarsim it through hadlaka in another venue, which is going to have more presuminis. So the Rivash will tell you that's taking a mitzvah that's pre-existing, adding on to it. In that case, you're allowed to make a brach. Okay. This is all true in the Rivash. This is if you say in the Rivash. Now, I think there's another mahalach in Rishonim that I think is a totally different mahalach. Is the mahalach of the kolbay. If we look at number 9, the Kolbay writes something interesting. He writes it in two places. One place is in Hilchas Chanukah, and one place is in Hilchas Lel Seder. So let's look what he first writes in Hilchas Chanukah number 9. The Nogu b'chol ha'mekayim is lahadlik ner Chanukah b'beisak neses. The meaning is in all places to light ner is Chanukah and Shul. Why? Lahaitzi yedei she'enei baki. To be mighty those that don't know how to. Which means the Kolbay is saying what the Shoyal and the Rivash was trying to convince the Rivash to say, is that the reason why we light Neris and Shul is to be mighty someone. We might see those people who don't know how to light. They're not going to go home and light. They don't know what to do, so we might see them. V'she'enu Zariz, or someone who's not quick enough to get home in time, so he says, he's running late, he'll have a marriage first. We'll be might see him with the Neris in Shul, and this way he doesn't have to light at home. Sounds like. Gam ki hidder mitzvah upirsum hanes. And again, it got cut off, but the words over there are supposed to be, Doit Zeche Lemikdosh. That's what the Kolbay writes. It's a Pirsum Hanes, and it's a Zeche Lemikdosh. Okay? Now, if you read the words of the Kolbay, he never once said anything about making a bracha. So maybe there's no bracha. Good. You want to light nairs all day long.
But
no bracha.
If you can be motzi, someone else.
Okay, good. Now the
problem. Have to make a bracha.
Yeah, so it sounds like something like that. Now the problem with this kolboy, and many achrayim ask on him, is there really a tzad you're going to be able to be motzi mishayni baki? You're really going to be able to yoytzi someone with the Neir's Chana control? What happened to Neir Yishu Beisai? How am I supposed to be yoytzi someone who, unless he lives here? You tell me that Neim lived in Shul.
Or so live anywhere.
So then he's not Mechoyev in Neir's Chana. Then he's not Chayev in Neir's Chana. So there might be an element of Brechas Haroya, right? That's also something that comes up a lot in the Sugya. They talk about this, the Vart from the Tumim, but okay, that part I didn't get into. But there's a lot of discussion, a lot of what we're saying here, the element of Brechas Haroya with the Brechas Neir's in Shul. So if we stop at this kolba in Hilchos Chanukah, and this is the only kolba in Hilchos Chanukah, then you don't see anywhere they're supposed to make a bracha. Now, if you look in Beis Yosef, quotes a very different kolba. It's so far that Rabbi Abadi writes in a tshuva, he says he doesn't even know where this other kolba was. But Baruch Hashem, I have Oitzer HaChachma, so I can put into a search, and I found it. The other kolba is in Hilchos Pesach. In Hilchos Pesach, the kolba writes over here in number 10, V'hatam, he's talking about Kiddush in Shul Friday night. Why do we make Kiddush Shul Friday night, says the Kolboy? By making Kiddush in Shul Friday night, you're being mefarsem Hashem's, you're spreading Hashem's name, the Kiddush Shemoy, and you're praising His name, when you say it in a group. Now we're getting a little bit of different terminology over here. We're saying there's something significant about making a bracha in public. The aim is Mishum Brachal Vatala. It's not a problem of Brachal Vatala. Kimishim Sadrin Sham Hatfilas, because we're setting up the Tfilas, Befnea Bekin, Ushaina Bekim. In front of those who know how to daven, in front of those who don't know how to daven. Vidoime, and this is comparable, the Masha Nogul, Halig Neris Chanukah, Beis HaKnesses, Lapir Samaneis. This is similar to the idea of Lari Neris in Shul. Befnei Kol Om, Ulasad, the Habrachas Befneim, Gam Sheyotzi De Chavosan, Haroim Shein Lehem Bayis, Levarech Sham. And then the kolba brings a riot, as you said. The riot that you can make a bracha in shul for something is from the fact that we make a bracha and look as Neir's Chanukah in shul. Okay. So the question is, Lamaisa, but what's the pshat? So the Beis Yosef learns that the kolba means the following. The kolba means there's two reasons to why you light Neir's Chanukah in shul. One reason is to be mighty those people that are not going to light. That's chiddush number one. Chiddush number two, says the Beis Yosef, is there's more pesu menisa. The more pesu menisa you have, the better off you are. Geshmak, more people see it. It's time you're being marbe in pesu menisa. It's a reboy pesu menisa. More Pesuminisa is better. Maybe not as extreme as we said in the Rosh, but more Pesuminisa is better. But again, we're still left with the question, so how do you make a bracha? So if you look over here in number 12, the Gevurah Yitzchak, Yitzchak Saratskin, says a pshat like this in the Kolboy, very big chiddush. He said the pshat in the Kolboy is that the minig was not just to light Neiris and Shul, the minig was to light it with a bracha. That was the way they set up the minig. The way Chazal set up this minhag wasn't just to make a maisa hadlaka in shul. They said make a hadlaka and attach to it a bracha. That was part and parcel of the minhag. So therefore he says, since it was part and parcel of the minhag, you no longer have a kasha. How do you make a bracha on a minhag? When do you have a kasha? How do you make a bracha on a minhag? That's when there's the minhag and you want to attach the bracha to the minhag. Over here, the chelik of the minhag was to make a bracha.
That begs the question, what gives you the right to...
Good, we'll get to that in a second. Let's just get the words out. The words of Rabbi Yitzchak Sirotskin is that the way the minhag was set up was to make it with the bracha. So says Rabbi Yitzchak Sirotskin, the fizeh, we can also answer up the Chacham Tzvi's kasha. Why is this different than Halal Rosh Chodesh? Because in Halal Rosh Chodesh, the minog was the minog, and the bracha was attached to it. That the Shulchan Aruch says we don't do. But over here, the minog was to recite a bracha along with the minog. That was the way they set it up. So since that was the way they set it up, that's where you're allowed to make a bracha. Okay, good. But now you still have the question. How do you make a bracha on a minog? If you tell me there's something wrong with the words vitzivanu, I can't say the words vitzivanu, something I wasn't obligated to, so how does it change because I say that the bracha was a chelik of the minog? How does it make it any better?
There's no greater pre-assuming to go ahead and make an announcement. If I just sound like a lot of other things that are happening.
But again, we have to connect the pre-assuming to the Maisad Lakha. Because if we don't do that, then we're rewriting the way they wanted it to be. They didn't want just one pre-assuming. They wanted the pre-assuming via Hadlakha's Neiris Chanukah. So we got
to
always...
That's a great way to call attention to everybody and show by making
Okay, good. So we're going to see that in a second.
Maybe but, the same thing, like when Yom Tov Shini, they're replicating the act.
Maybe. Could be.
So
if you're learning the Beis Yosef, you're actually being mercy someone, then it's pashut. Yeah. The bracha is not to be mercy someone, it's not even a question. If you're learning that you're just trying to get more peace of manes, so who says the right to make a bracha? So I think what you're going to have to say for this kolba, according to this shtickle Torah, is like this. The kolba held like the biskirov. Why don't we make a bracha on minhagim? It's because Chazal were misakin birchas hamitzvahs on mitzvahs. But over here, it's not a birchas hamitzvah. I'm not making a bracha on a mitzvah. The bracha is not on the ma'aseh mitzvah. The bracha is a kima minog. The only time we have a kasha, how do you make a bracha on a mitzvah, is if you want the bracha to facilitate a birchas hamitzvah. I don't want it to be a brechas hamitzvah. I want it to be a chelik of the minog. So since I don't want it to work as a brechas hamitzvah, I want it to work as a chelik of a kima minog. It's not a kasha anymore. How do you make such a brach? If you learn the biskirov, I think it's moving. If you don't learn the biskirov, you don't like Rashi, the tzivonu, I don't understand how we gained anything. Now, the begs the question, why should the bracha be a chelik of the minog? Why should it be like that? Why? It's a strange thing. We all know brichas are not makevis. You can do a mitzvah and not make a bracha. So why over here did the minhag be that we want you to make a bracha because that's a chelik of the minhag? Why is it? You don't think they're going to do it? Salvechik writes that he says we learn that whenever you have a din, we don't make brachas. People are mezalz on the whole thing. Right. He brings a raya from Shmini Atzeres. Right. He brings a raya from. He says, look what happened to Shmini Atzeres in the sukkah. Because there's no bracha, no one keeps the mitzvah. So he writes that he thinks whenever we stop making brachas, we lose it. That's it. We no longer take the thing seriously. We lose it. But I think we could be maybe masber this kolba in a different way. There's a very famous piece from Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Maror Ktzir. Rabbi Yaakov Emden is discussing a shayla with the Shulchan Aruch about Safik Brachas. Let's say you have a shayla of Safik Brachas on Neres Chanukah. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says we don't apply the rule of Safik Brachas on Neres Chanukah. Why not? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, again it's on the pages but we don't have enough time, Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that Neres Chanukah is Pesum Menisa. If I don't make a bracha beforehand, it's felt in Pesum Menisa. No one knows I'm being Mefaras in the Nes. Maybe I'm putting up lights because I'm putting up lights. It's dark in my house. It's dark outside. The raya that it's a Pesum Nes, what gives it the Pesum Menisa, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, is the bracha before it. That's Rabbi Yaakov Emden.
It just happens to be putting these lights on Hanukkah.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I agree with you. I don't understand it well.
When you have light like, Pesum Menisa in your house,
yeah.
People in the street will go and buy and sing it. They're not
here. Oh, that's a good question. We're going to get to that in a second. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that there's no option on Chanukah of lighting without a bracha. It doesn't exist. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden, you're not mekayem anything. You're lacking Pesum Menisa when you're going to light without a bracha. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes. So l'chayra, if you go like that, then it's very geshmak. Now it makes sense what we're saying. The reason why the minhag was to light with the bracha because the whole purpose was Pesum Menisa. If you're not going to have Pesum Menisa because no one knows that you were making hadlaka, so then there's no reason to do it. So that's why the bracha became a chelik of the minhag. The fizeh, we can go one step further to a machloikis achronim that comes up in many shuls every Friday afternoon. There's a machloikis mangan avon of Yaakov Emden. What happens, what do you do on Friday, lighting a Friday before Shabbos in shul? When are you supposed to light the menorah? So the Ramot says that normally we light the menorah between Mincha and Ma'ariv. So what about on Shabbos? On Friday, you can't light the menorah between Mincha and Ma'ariv. You're going to be lighting after the Zman. So the Bar Halacha...
You're starting davening so late.
It depends when you start Mincha. Yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, B'shem the Magen Avram, the Magen Avram writes that you light Neiris Chanukah, again, let's say Mincha is called for 4:15. So it's before Mincha, you know, there's no one there. It's the Gabbai by himself and maybe the Rabbi's there. So what does he do? There's no Rabbim here. So the Magen Avram writes that you can write, the Magen Avram writes, let him light menorah now. As long as he knows by the end of davening, there'll be some people here to watch the menorah. That's what the Magen Avraham writes. Now, this is a very interesting Magen Avraham.
They don't have to be there for the
bracha. They don't have to be there for Shas Adlok and Shas Abrach. This is a very interesting Magen Avraham because the people want to bring a rap in this Magen Avraham, like against the minhag in Klal Yisrael that we daven early on Fridays. Right? You know, you looked at your shul calendars, you know that everyone had an early mincha on Friday. Why? Not for today's shir, but they want to bring a rap in the Magen Avraham. They didn't do it because the Magen Avraham says that they're talking about lighting before mincha and we're talking about people going to come from mincha. So you see, they used to daven mincha later. Now, it's not a right at all because we all agree sometimes you don't have the option of davening earlier. If you have the option, you should. If you don't have the option because you're working, then it's not to talk about. So that Magen Avraham is not a riot at all. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes on that Magen Avraham, I disagree. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, you can't do that. You can't light Neiris Chanukah in shul if there's no people there. You can't do it. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden argues. What's the machlokes? The chayrus Rabbi Yaakov Emden l'shitasei. This Rabbi Yaakov Emden is l'shitasei, that the lumdus of the hadlokas Neiris in shul is a chelek of the person. It can only be accomplished with the brachas. Which means if you're not there at the time of the brachas, it's not person menisa. So then you can't light. So therefore, Yaakov Emden l'shitasei that holds the bracha is a chelek of the Pesum Menisa holds you can't light Neiris Chanukah shul without a minyan. The Magen Avraham disagrees. No, but over here you're not getting what you're trying to accomplish. So it could be that the machlokes Magen Avraham and if Yaakov Emden is telling the machlokes Rivash and the Kolboy, if the pshat and the lighting in shul is just a regular kiyum of Pesum Menisa, if it's regular Pesum Menisa, as long as someone walks by and watches it, according to the Kolboy, the Pesum Menisa is din dafka b'tzibur. Has to be that the tzibur knows about it, and if the tzibur doesn't know about it, you're not yaitz. That's possible. I don't understand his premise. Which means
there's a pronouncement that now
there's only one problem with all this. Yeah. Yaakov Emden writes, so what you should do Friday by mincha, he says light without a bracha. Yeah. That's a hell. Yaakov Emden, how can you suggest lighting without a bracha? According to you, there's no such option of lighting without a bracha. So that's the chayyut to me, a big tzarichin. Now there's one more pshat which we're just gonna not enough time to get to. We're just gonna mention it. Is that you could learn pshat in the kolbe differently. You could learn pshat in the kolbe is that the kolbe holds similar to what we said in the rivash that you're being moisif on the mitzvah of Pesum Menisa. You're taking the mitzvah of Pesum Menisa and you're adding on to it, and that's why you can make a bracha similar to what we said in the rivash. The last pshat is the pshat from the goyin. The Goyin said, how do you make a bracha on Halakas Neir's Beis HaKnesses? The same way you make a bracha on Halal Beis HaKnesses, night of Pesach. That's the Goyin's comparison. The Goyin writes in Shulchan Aruch by us, how do we make a bracha on Halakas Neir's in Shul? The same way we make a bracha on Halakas Neir and Halal below Pesach. What does one have to do with the other?
Plus, not everybody accepts that.
Interestingly enough, over there, the Shulchan Aruch is the one who does accept to say Halal Lel Pesach. And again, that's only a minute. So what's the pshat? So Salvechik has a long discussion over here in Nefesh HaRav, he discusses it. Just the very short answer is, he writes, at number 20, he writes, the Chol Chayvas HaYochid SheTachlisa L'Shem Persum Minisa, the Yisrael is like this, says Salvechik, anything that the mitzvah, its purpose was Persum Minisa, but it was put on an individual, Hoyfeches Liyaz Gam Chayvas HaTzibur. It switches over to become an obligation on the Tzibur, Bechtei Lahasa Gaydei Kach Yosef Persum Minisa. Because by doing so, you'll get more Persum Minisa. So he explains that the Goyin's agenda over here is that by switching, taking an individual obligation and making it a public, you get more pesum minisa, and those things you're allowed to do. That's not begeder minhag. That's taking my chiyuv and just changing the way it's supposed to be played out. Instead of doing it at home, I do it in a tzibur setting. So Salvechik goes on to explain a bunch of things based on this, but one of the things he writes, he says, lefi zeh, what they do in lighting in non-shul places are 100% wrong. Right? I'm sure he spoke to Lubavitcher Rebbe about it, but he writes over here that he thinks it's wrong. Because he says that the way they were misakin it was, he's moist of one more line. They were misakin it as a chelik of tfilas hatzibur of davening. He held it's not stam a tzibur of a gathering. It's a gathering around the concept of davening. And therefore he quotes B'shem Reb Chaim, that Reb Chaim used to do Matzah Shabbos. When would he light Neiros in Shul? Before davening ended. Because he holds if you light after davening is over, you lost the tzibur of tfilah. That's his chiddush. You have to have a tzibur, not just a group of people. You have to have a tzibur of around the davening experience.
So if they daven ma'ariv in the street, in the square, before they light the menorah, that would be okay.
Right, so he'll tell you. So some Achren write that, actually. Bavad Yosef writes that. I guess he's using some alums. But he still thinks that it was still in the socket in shul, but in the tzibur connected. So Shechter writes, Lefizeh, Leil Pesach, what happens in some shuls? So there's always a split in the shuls. Should we say Al? Should we say Al? So they want to make up Shar. So what they do is, they say Aleinu, they say Kaddish. Those who want to leave, says Shechter. But according to this, that's wrong. It's supposed to be around the davening. If you're going to have it after davening, then you miss the whole takana. So he times that according to this goin, if you accept this goin in Hilchas Pesach, then you have to accept the goin with regard to when to say the hal. The only kasha I have on the goin is two kashas. First of all, the goin himself writes, you know why we say hal on shul Leil Pesach? To be mighty those who can't do it themselves. So then obviously there's no connection to Hanukkah. Secondly, if you look in some Paiskim, they say that where did it come to say hal Leil Pesach on shul? It either came from Yerushalmi. Oh, so it has a minhag. So if it has a minhag, it's not a minhag, it's a Yerushalmi, it has a source. Or it came from Masech HaSofrim. And Masech HaSofrim is always a debate, who wrote Masech HaSofrim? Was it written by Amoraim? Was it written by Rishonim? But it has more of a makor than Chanukah Beis HaKnesses. So if you assume that there's a better source for Halal Leil Pesach, then it seems to be a very difficult comparison to Halakas Neiros Chanukah, which has absolutely no source. Yeah.